Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or, hopefully, how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Moat.
Do you want a superpower?
Yes,
watch
please.
And rewatch Misfits, Love and Orange Jump.
Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with
Margot. Come here, darling. Can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Well done, darling.
There we go.
That was nice. That was a good intro, that.
Yeah, that was nice. Hi, guys. This is Margot, nearly 4 years old. We love your podcast, and Margot would love for you to use this on your podcast, as she's a second child, so nothing exactly happens for her, as older sister Matilda, age 6, has done it all first.
Yeah.
Matilda's going to be fucking livid. Love their mummy, Amy, from Bristol.
Well, so this is a very tough life for Margot if she has to do something different to her older sister all the time. She'll be constantly searching.
Tough. Where were you in the lineup of siblings?
Three older, one younger.
Oh, bloody hell, Rob.
Got too many kids, mate.
No wonder you've done this desperate seek for attention, eh? Am I right?
Well, yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what's happened. But let's not get bogged down by that.
Now, I have a problem playing those out, as we've discussed, Rob, because I live in a Wi-Fi black spot.
Yes, yes. I suggest that you should be doing this podcast from somewhere that has the internet.
Well, no, because I've put internet wire into my computer so the podcast works perfectly, but I just can't really access my phone during the podcast. Right. The worst thing about the internet black spot is just outside my house, there's a complete black spot if you want to use a card machine. So every time I get a cab home and I need to pay by card, it will fail. Yeah. And then I have to explain to the cabbie that he now needs to drive me around the corner because that's the reason my card is bouncing. And I have got the funds in my... Yeah. And it looks like I'm...
Why is that in London? You're in London. It sounds like you're back in Devon.
No, I know. Well, you can't get a taxi back in Devon, Rob. But yeah, isn't that bad?
It's really bad, Josh. Before we do the correspondence, there's a couple of things I forgot to tell you last time we spoke.
Oh, exciting.
I've taught my children the words vagina, penis and anus.
Yeah, good, good.
Because that's the medical term.
Because that's the medical term. So what were they calling it before?
Bumhole, bits and willy.
Bumhole, bits and willy. Absolutely. One of my favourite sketch groups from the when we used to do Edinburgh.
Vagina, anus, dick, penis, not dick.
Dick.
But then I was sort of doing that because I found it quite funny. And then Lou was getting the ump with me. I was like, no, it's the medical word.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but then they were going, sagina, then they misheard me and they always called it sagina, peanuts and anus. And then for some reason they just started, basically my youngest daughter used to say Wasby Whipple, like, you know, like a little baby,
voice. Yeah.
And she's just grown out of it now and says Raspberry Ripple, like, normally, without that sort of baby twang.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you're not a baby anymore, blah, blah, blah. And then we had a chat about, you know, the words penis, anus and vagina. Then they started chanting Raspberry Anus, Raspberry Anus, Raspberry Anus over and over again. Lou was living. I don't even know why they were doing it. And then they just kept going, raspberry vagina.
Yeah, vagina's a difficult one because my daughter calls it a vagina.
A vagina?
Like, it's a difficult word for a kid to do for some reason.
What, vagina? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anus is fine.
Yeah, anus. Oh, they love anus. Although my daughter wouldn't call it an anus. She'd call it a bum, I think.
So what does she call it? Bum?
Vagina.
Vagina.
Vagina,
bum.
Vagina.
And then what about...
Willy, probably?
Willy.
Yeah. She called it a schlong for a bit, which I thought was a bit weird.
You're wiping me out. The Johnson.
Yeah.
The one-eyed snake.
Yeah. We had my daughter's friend round, and She calls it Netflakes.
What, a vagina?
She calls it a Netflix.
I think, oh, Netflix.
She calls Netflix Netflakes, like brown Netflakes. Flakes or cornflakes.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, any more kids calling things wrong?
Yeah.
That's quite funny and sweet. Let us know. Send them in.
Yeah.
Oh, this other thing, before we do correspondence, I know we keep threatening to
do
correspondence.
We're not doing correspondence, Rob.
I need some advice here, Josh, right? Because I don't know what to do. So
I've got a doctor's number if you want it, Rob.
No, that's nothing to do with my anus. I'd say my anus is in the best health it's ever been.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd say it's great.
That's good to know. You know, normally on this podcast where you go, I've sent you a WhatsApp, we'll pop it on the Instagram. You haven't said that this time, which I'd say...
Do you want me to send you a photo of my anus?
No, I don't know.
No, okay, cool, fair enough. I did have to get Lou to shave my back on Boxing
what?
Day.
Sorry.
Because I get really hairy
back.
Are you
and Malcolm in the middle? What's going on? Like, what?
Because I get a really hairy back and Lou shaves it for me because I can't get around
there. On Boxing Day?
Yeah, in the garden. And it was really cold.
What, in the garden? What the... Are you living in a trailer park? What's going on?
You don't want to get hair in the house.
Why were you on Boxing Day making Lou shave your back in the garden?
Because I just noticed it. We had a bit of spare time before people come over.
When you get divorced, Lou is going... That is going to be cited in court as some of your bad behaviour. Meanwhile, you're sitting there fucking Instagramming about your stand-up special being on Sky. And Lou's shaving your back.
No, but we'd been busy because we had to catch up on Traitors before the finale, and I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. Traitors is a great show, but I've got a bit
of a... It's the greatest TV show of all time, Rob.
Yeah, but you know what annoys me a bit, Josh, is that it's reality TV, okay?
Yeah.
Right? It's reality TV. And now, because it's on the BBC, it's almost like all the little stiff-neck Guardian readers have decided that reality TV is okay now.
No, I'd like to be very clear. I still don't like Love Island, Rob.
Yeah, but it's essentially the same. But you like it packaged.
It's different for me, Rob, because obviously, as you know, I am a huge fan of the original five or six Big Brothers.
Yeah, sure.
So I was there at the start. I'm currently listening to a 10-part podcast about reality TV, Rob.
Really?
Which is very interesting.
I'd listen to that. Can you send that link to me?
Yeah, I will listen. I will send that link to you. And so, but I would say to people, stick with this podcast as well, because don't get too distracted by it. But
Josh, let them listen and let them come crawling back.
Crawling back when you get to the episode about the hills and realise you don't give a shit.
Oh, no, I don't give a shit about the hills. But it just annoyed me a little bit. It's basically reality TV and the people are like, oh my God,
you've
this is
there,
reality TV when it's done
well.
I've been there from the fucking start of reality TV. Don't start jumping on board because it's on fucking BBC Two.
It's on BBC One, Rob.
Is it? All right, whatever. Same thing, innit? But yeah, it's brilliant. It's really good. But so the advice. Basically, my youngest daughter gets a little bit, doesn't really like going to bed on her own. Okay, so would always ask her sister to have a sleepover. And they did. For the first week of Christmas off school, they were sleeping in the same beds together. Anyway.
Yeah.
Then Christmas Eve, it came to a head because she didn't want her stocking at the door because she's scared of Santa.
Yeah.
She had to have hers downstairs, but she still wanted to see it with her sister. But her sister wanted her stocking on a door because she wanted to see it when she woke up in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, and then at one point, to try and appease the youngest, I said, look, he'll be so quick. And I basically reenacted how quick Santa would be. He won't even look at you. He'll just come in, and I pretended to put stuff in it and turn.
He won't even look. Did she put any snack out? Did you do the snack as well?
Yeah, we did gingerbread, carrot, and some milk.
Did you act him out eating the snack without even looking at her?
No. The snack's downstairs.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Fine.
By the fireplace, I forgot. Went to the front door again because when we were growing up, we didn't have a fireplace. We just used to put it on the doorstep. So that was a classic. Me and Lou arguing.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So. Push come to shove, they both slept in separate beds, okay? So I went with the youngest and I said, I'll lay with you, right? And then my eldest was like, can you lay with me? And the eldest doesn't want or need me to lay with her. She just wants to lay with me because I'm laying with the other one, essentially. Yeah. So I'm laying with the youngest, and the way their bed's positioned is, I lay at the bottom of a bed like a dog sleeping by the feet. My kids have got small doubles. It's not a double, but it's bigger than a... two of them can get in. Right.
Like a bad hotel, that kind of double.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you think this isn't really a double, but it's fine for kids, okay?
Yeah.
So I was laying, so when I have sleepovers with friends, there's space. So I was, in my youngest, I was laying at the bottom bed. She went, can you lay next to me? But if I lay next to her on the bed, in order to, once she's fallen asleep, I've got to climb over her.
Oh,
and
mate.
And it always wakes her up. Always wakes her up. So I said, I'll lay at the bottom. Anyway, so I'm laying there for ages. And then she's listening to her music or whatever it is, Sing 2 or Mamma Mia. I'm laying there. Youngest is nearly asleep. Eldest, Dad, can you come? I'm like, oh, and she wakes up the youngest. I'm like, yeah, just shush. Oh, I'll come in a minute. But she's... Yeah. Nearly going to sleep. And eventually, I think I've got the youngest to sleep. So I get up, don't disturb her. Then I go and get in my eldest daughter's room and I lay next to her. But the way her bed is, it's easier to lay alongside her as if I'm going to sleep in that bed with my head on the pillow, as my youngest demanded, but I couldn't do because I wake her up. So I'm laying there with the oldest, right? She's about to go to sleep. Youngest walks in. Why? I thought you were going to lay in a bed. And why are you laying on the bed like I asked you to?
Oh, my God,
why
Rob,
do you
this
love
is...
her more than me? Why are you laying there? And I'm like, ugh.
Oh, no.
That's awful.
That is superb.
But it's impossible to keep them both happy.
You sound like one of those people that's got two different wives. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah. But then as soon as the youngest walked back in, so this was about like 8:45, right? I was like... 8:30, 8:45. And I was like, right, she's good, actually, because I don't need to be in long with the eldest. She doesn't even really want me in there. She's not cuddling up to me. She just wants me in there because I went in with the youngest. So I'm like, bang, I'm downstairs by 10 to 9. I'm watching telly. As soon as the youngest comes in, I'm like, that's a half an hour. That's an instant half an hour extension.
That's game over.
Yeah, so and then you just sort of think, she's too young to understand that I'll wake her up if I lay on the next to her.
She just thinks
I don't want to lay with her.
So how does it end?
Who knows? They basically go out clubbing when they're 18 and I cry myself to sleep thinking, I wish I could just lay next to them, hold their hand.
And suggest to Lou that maybe, you know, 50 isn't that late to have another third kid, surely.
Well, the problem is, that's the thing about the third kid. They're cute and that, but it's like a drug addict. You're always tracing the hit because they will grow up and be big and not cute anymore. Do you know what I mean? So you're constantly chasing the hit.
Yeah.
That's the danger, isn't it? You just have to sort of go, right, now I've had my time.
So you've gone cold turkey, haven't you?
We've had to go cold turkey. Because then what happens is, like, she's so, like, my youngest now is 5. She's a proper girl, little girl at school. She's not, and in our head, she's still the cute little baby.
She's a big 5 as well, isn't she, Rob?
She's very tall for 5.
She can see why she's an athlete.
I think it's going to be interesting when she starts doing sport. She started karate and taekwondo.
I wouldn't want to face her in the karate ring. She is...
You're trying to say my daughter's intimidating?
No, I'm not trying to say she's intimidating, Rob. I'm saying, you know, she's not got a huge amount of Beckett genes physically.
Okay, so all right. So you're saying that she's got more of a Louise Watts body shape that invokes a level of fitness and...
Yes, I'd say... Right. Yeah, I'd say she's a Watts.
I'm not sure how to take this. So in what way is she a Watts, not a Beckett?
In what way is she a Watts, not a Beckett? And I say this with, you know, your squat.
I'd say broad.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, I've seen you do that thing where you pull your trousers up, Rob.
Yeah.
I saw you do that at a preview. It stuck with me. It stuck with me. You've got a strange shape, and your daughter should be absolutely dancing all day long. That has not been passed on. She must be delighted.
Lou's side, like Lou's dad, he had a knee replacement. He's really good at sport, and he's quite tall and athletic and stuff like that. And Lou's sister was a dancer, and now is like a Pilates teacher.
It's going to be the greatest story of all when your daughter scores the winner in the World Cup final for England, and they cut back to you, the footage of you with the KFC just 20 years before.
Look, I've always had the talent, but just not the body for it. You've seen my goals.
Exactly.
I can't run.
Get her in an academy, Rob. You need to Richard Williams this straight away.
Yes. We'll see how that goes. But I think we're quite lucky. Now, no offence to my parents.
Or the other option, Rob, is give them a childhood. They're your two options.
But, you know, what a life if they make it. But I would say about my parents, but I don't mean unfair on them, but they're not. No. They don't look like athletes.
No.
My dad's 5'5", my mum's 5 foot.
Yeah,
and I've never seen my mother run.
Have you never seen your mother?
Ever. I'd say I've barely seen her walk briskly. She's got bad knees now, but even in her pomp, she weren't a quick walker. I'd love it if they'd be good at sport. It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Well, you've got the skills, but not the physique. Maybe you've passed on the skills.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see. Let's not get bogged down about my physique. Okay, I'm sorry. It's been a long Christmas. I've been eating a lot. I don't need you telling me I'm fat.
You're not fat. You're not fat. I'm talking about your leg length versus your body length. That's all I'm talking about.
I am heavy. Right, let's do this correspondence, Josh, because this is getting out of hand now. We've done 20 minutes. We haven't fucking...
Sorry.
Or probably 6 minutes once it's been edited, but we've been recording for 19 minutes. Here we go.
Always interesting when we drop in a time thing and people can look at their time and see how much Michael has thought was dog shit.
Almost definitely they will have cut out the bit where we say who won the traitors.
I don't know. Yeah, that's gone. That's gone.
This episode is brought to you...
Here we go. Do you want some boomers? We've got loads of good boomers. Do you want some boomers?
Yeah.
I've got some Christmas. We don't want any more Christmassy stuff, do we? We're sort of done with Christmas now.
Oh, I don't know. Let's move on. If it's funny, it's funny.
Oh, this is bad packed lunch. Because this is from where you were talking about your daughter wanting packed lunch. You thought about making her a bad packed lunch so she won't ask for one again.
Yeah.
Georgia from Tunbridge Wells, 372 months. She said, it dawned on her after hearing you talk about this that she remembers being at primary school and being so excited to have her first ever packed lunch, as up until that point, she had had school dinners, which she hated. She said, I sat down with my friends and they all took out their sandwiches, crisps and cold snacks. I was so excited. But I opened my lunchbox inside was half a cold quiche.
Oh, no. Oh,
nothing
God.
Else. Just
what?
Quiche.
Nothing else. Just quiche.
Dry. That's a dry, that like no drink. Gone. I've never forgotten, and listening to your podcast has suddenly made me think if my mum had done it on purpose to stop me asking again.
That is bleak. How big's the quiche? Half a quiche is too big. Like, you've got to have something else for you. Fucking shove in a bloody club or a trio.
Who actually likes fucking quiche?
I don't like quiche, let alone fucking it.
Do you know what? I'd fuck a warm one, not a cold one. If I had to fuck a quiche, it'd be Lorraine and it'd be warm.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you added the quiche thing because it is. When he's. Michael, could you just do an edit and remove the word remove the word quiche and replace it with Rob saying TV presenter?
That'd be terrible. That'd be an awful thing. Fake news. Fake news. Here we go. All right, boys. When I was growing up, my family would attend midnight mass on Christmas Eve. One year, when I was only small, on the way to church, we passed a very drunk man on a bench, swigging a beer out of a brown bag with a bit of sick down him. He slumped on a park bench, but most importantly, with a long white beard. My brother, 8 years older than me, whispered, that's Father Christmas. I'm getting ready for his night shift. Better keep your bedroom door open. He'll be coming into your room tonight to deliver your presents. Me being about 5 or 6 was absolutely terrified. It scarred my childhood every Christmas from then on. Father Christmas wasn't the jolly man from the North Pole, but the drunk man at the end of my road who creeps into my room at night to deliver presents. From that night onwards, my door would be firmly shut Christmas Eve, and I insisted my present sack wasn't anywhere near my bedroom. Love the podcast. Hannah Smith, 27, from Bromley. Right, boomer stuff. Do you want some boomer stuff? Yeah. You've got more boomers. Here we go. When I was little, my cousin and I wouldn't touch any vegetables. To get us to eat them, my auntie told us a story of Nasty Green, who was a monster that came and got children who didn't eat their vegetables. To make it even more terrifying, she also drew a picture of him. He was basically a mutant broccoli monster, and she stuck the picture of him next to the table so that we were constantly reminded that Nasty Green would get us.
Nasty Green's such a good name.
If we didn't eat our vegetables.
Nasty Green!
I used to have nightmares about him for years.
Oh, my God. That is superb. Nasty
Green. She's got another one as well, though.
Go on.
She's got double Megan. She's got a double one. Nasty Green. No, Nasty Green's... Before we move on, that is a great name, Nasty Green.
Yeah, Nasty Green. If you do want to send in your artistic interpretations of Nasty Green, we'll put them on our Instagram.
Also, when I was about 15, we went on holiday to Greece. On the plane home, I sat near what I thought was a good-looking boy on the plane.
And we spent
the whole journey smiling and looking across each other. Oh, good stuff. I was like, we've not read this out before. Josh is the guy.
Yeah, bit of fun.
Do you know what? If I looked and smiled at a girl on a plane when I was 15, there'd be police waiting on arrival. I looked menacing.
Rob, I've got to ask a question. You met Lou at work, didn't you? So she knew you as to who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever pulled a stranger?
Pulled a stranger?
Like, have you ever chatted someone up on a plane or on a train or in a...
No. No. I mean, in a nightclub, I've sort of, like, got off with people when I was, like, 18, 19. Yeah. But that was different. But, no, I need to be near you for a long amount of time to grind you down. I've got a lot of what I've got. And at the start, you're not interested in it. But I'm a grind down guy.
I literally don't know how you do it.
I've calmed down a bit now. What do you mean how I do it?
No, I just... The thought of, like, charming a woman in a cafe was so far from my abilities. It still is.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Well, they used to call me all bants, no pants, my mates.
Did they?
All chuckles, no fuckles. Because I just friend zone every time.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, I think... Do you know what, though? I have calmed down a lot and I've sorted a lot of stuff out in my head.
And people at home must be going, what the fuck were you like?
I was awful. I was so relentlessly everywhere. Especially when I didn't have stand-up as an outlet. Stand-up tires me now. But in the pub, after, you remember that Far Show character, the office, funny office bloke who wore a wacky tie and a
Colin,
big ginger hair?
Colin something.
Yeah, he was like the office clown.
He was Charlie Higgs. Yeah. That was you.
I was just... Yeah, in the pub, I'd be in the pub first, non-stop performing. All chuckles, no fuckles.
All chuckles, no, it's sad, really. Did you... it's actually quite bleak. And you met Lou just before you started stand-up, or when you were just starting?
No, so we worked in an office job in London doing admin when I was 23, and I'd done one gig,
and then
I started gigging again... And then Lou came, but, like, with another girl from Merchants. I was like, we were all, like, a group of friends. Sort of come. But Lou came to, like, one of my second ever gig. And then, so she knew me before I started gigging. And then, like, I did other gigs before I went to Adelaide, and she, like, used to give me notes.
She's a very funny writer, Lou. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
When she came to that second gig, did you think, was your heart already hers, Rob? This is for you, Lou.
No, all for me.
Oh, OK, fair enough. I was just trying to... you know.
No, I was absolute narcissistic megalomaniac at the start. It was all purely for me. Terrible. A complete lack of self-worth. No self-worth whatsoever. Stood on stage, everyone laughed and clapped, and I was like, yes, you are good. And then that descended in 10 years of chasing that drug until I accepted myself and realised I am enough. I don't need them to laugh. Yes, I can enjoy it and it'll be fun, but that's not the reason why I'm a good or bad person. And that took a long time and a lot of therapy.
It's good that I took this hour out for reading Matthew Perry's book to basically get more of it on the podcast.
Yeah, when I worked in an office in London before I started doing comedy, I was on a very Matthew Perry path.
When I worked in an office, Rob, I was so quiet as such a non-event. I remember going, when I joined Dora the Explorer magazine. Yeah. We all went for a drink the first night I was there as a kind of welcome drink. I just didn't speak. I vividly remember one of the other people in the office going, you don't say much, do you? And I thought...
Do you think they're all Spanish? ¿Qué? Pardon?
Oh, man.
Me amo Joshua.
I was so nothingy, Rob. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I used to get one. I remember one week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I was on the night bus home at 3 a.m. Bear in mind, I started work at 8:30 a.m. I'd leave Trafalgar Square on an hour and a half night bus with the McDonald's.
Yeah.
I did Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to work.
Oh, my God.
Awful. Yeah. Awful, man. Anyway, right, let's get back to... this is the 15-year-old on the plane.
Yeah, sorry.
That's what we're
bloody hell, oh, that was a journey, wasn't it?
Long way, Greece. Here we go. When I was about 15, we went on holiday to Greece. On the plane home, I was near what I thought was a good-looking boy on the plane. And we spent the plane journey smiling and looking at... Well done, love it. Looking across at each other. When we got off the plane, he came over to me and gave me his number on a piece of paper. My dad saw from a distance he was fuming and immediately took the piece of paper off me. Exited the airport, my dad saw him and his family getting into a taxi. He stormed over to the taxi as the boy and his family were climbing in.
Oh, no.
He threw the piece of paper into the taxi, shouting,
this is bad for
the dad. We're not interested.
We're?
He dragged me away. I know! Would you fucking threesome with your daughter, you fucking nutter? We're not interested, then drag me away red-faced. Classic boomer parenting.
God, that is awful.
I understand... No. I understand.
That kid's
No, let me out there. No, that is awful. That is awful what he's done. I understand that dads will find it's a challenging time when your daughter is changing from a child, teenager, yep, into a woman. And as she gets older, she'll have boyfriends and get married and have kids. That is a difficult thing. That is not how you deal with it.
No. No.
That is awful.
That is...
Anyway, Megan's survived.
You don't need to... Oh, my God. My friend was once on a train.
Unless it was 27.
My friend was on a train and he got talking to a girl.
One of your friends?
Sure. And he got talking to her. And I think she wasn't on the same table, but she was like across.
Yeah.
And then he thought he'd do the old pass the note with the phone number on.
Yeah.
So he got up to go to the toilet and just put the note down on her table and then walked off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he came back from the toilet, she was literally sat there with her head in her hands. Like, just totally mortified.
Oh, no.
Just, she couldn't believe
it. Do that as you're leaving, not going for a shit.
You don't go to the toilet, leave the note, and then come back.
Oh, and what happened? She just ignored him.
They just never said anything to each other for the rest of the journey.
Oh, God. Right. Josh, right, here we go, right. Rose has left you.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You're in a flat. I'm a bit annoyed
you've dropped this in halfway through the podcast. You could have mentioned that at the start.
Right. Yeah. You've got a flat
around the
corner.
I'm not in a flat in Soho. That's too bleak.
Right. Okay. You're in a flat round the corner, so you're close to the kids. And you can still, you've still got a good relationship with Rose and the kids, but it's just not worked out. Rose has got the house, obviously. You know that. You're in a little flat round the corner. You're sleeping in the car.
There's two bedrooms because the kids come to stay.
Yeah, you're a box room. You've got a flat around the corner, two bedrooms.
I feel physically sick at the thought of this. What I mean is the thought of... I'm fine with Rose leaving me. That's okay.
Yeah. It's getting back, flat, right?
It's getting back out onto the scene, Rob.
Yes, okay. So now you're on the scene. You're Joshua to come off the last leg.
Oh, no.
Happy. It's all good. Rose is... She's moved on. She's with her personal trainer. They're loving life. He's moved in. He's in your bed. Yeah. And you're now on the lookout. You're on the scene, Josh.
He's my personal trainer as well. That's awkward, but he does a good job.
He does a good job.
And also, it's good to catch up on what my kids are up to from him while we're working out.
Yeah. Okay, so talk me through. You're back on the scene. Right, first of all, what you're doing, are you...
I'm not getting on an app because I'm too worried about people screen grabbing me.
But as long as you don't put anything too embarrassing.
No, but people are like... Josh Whittaker like my photo on an app and I'm a fucking loser. Do you know what I mean? Then surely.
Yeah, but that's how it works. You're not being a loser.
No, I know, Rob. But I'm a public figure, Rob. I can't be.
There is a famous one, isn't there? It's called something. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, but I'm not getting on that. And suddenly I'm trying to chat up fucking, I don't know, Mandy Moore or whoever. Do you know what I mean?
If you had to give me an hour to work out 300
names... Where did I come from? I'm not going to look up Mandy Moore in 20 years.
You like Mandy Moore, don't you?
No, I don't even know what she looks like. I was panicking because I couldn't remember the name of...
I've just Googled
Jessica Simpson. That's who the other person I was thinking of, essentially. The problem is, Rob, if I get on a celebrity app, I don't want to go too much into what my tactics would be, but I'm instantly losing my only Trump card.
But you've been famous, that's a Trump card.
Yeah, it's all I've got.
So you're not going on that.
So you're asking what I'd do if I got back on the scene.
Yeah, so the difficult thing is, obviously, are you looking for someone who's got kids already or doesn't want kids or no kids and you want to have kids?
I don't.
Or are you done with kids?
I'm done with kids. Well, I'm done with kids in this scenario, obviously.
Yeah, okay. Yes. You don't want any new ones. You may, you'll take on some other kids. But you breed more.
Rob, I enjoy my freedom.
Okay. So you're shagging about. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not shagging about. I just mean I'm watching Super Sunday.
Jessica Simpson. She's there next to you, watching Brentford's Fulham. You enjoy your freedom for a bit, so you're not looking to get into a relationship.
This is a difficult one because Rose is going to listen, isn't it? It sounds like I'm only answering the questions that are posed to me.
Yeah, it's just
the answer
just
is I've got literally no idea how I would go about.
So you're not going on an app, friends of friends or something, or I think we spoke about this before for me, didn't we? And I'd just find someone else famous that was single.
Did you?
Yeah, I think we spoke about this before, but for me, not for you. Right, let's get back to this, because you love Mandy Moore and Jessica Simpson. Right, this is a really intense boomer parenting, this one. This one's quite shocking, actually. And I think it's why, you know, like, I think this explains why. Have you seen that trend on TikTok where people go to their parents? It's normally a mum or dad who are in their 50s or 60s and say, have you heard so-and-so's died, like Rod Stewart or Elton John, to get a reaction? Yeah. And they really react like something like burst into tears and stuff like that. But I think it might be past trauma from the way they were parented. When you hear these stories, I can sort of see why their reactions are like that. So this is from Carmen Luck, aged 53, from Market Harborough, okay? Boomer parenting, this is. I think this might even be beyond boomer. This was like in the 70s, but she says, hello, Rob and Josh. Not sure if this would be good content for your show, as it may be a little sensitive, but I thought you'd like to hear how
my dad
done his parenting back in the 70s. I had a pet rabbit called Bluey. Now, I wasn't great at cleaning Bluey out. I didn't like the smell, and to be honest, I was young, and I had other things I wanted to do. My dad, who was a very strict ex-army guy, would always say to me, Carmen, if you don't clean that rabbit out, we will have it for tea.
Oh, my God.
I never paid attention. Then one day I came home from school and walked into the utility room. There was this horrific smell, and there was my dad gutting my rabbit.
What?
This was after many months of being warned that this would happen, and I did not listen. I was distraught. My dad tried to make it better by offering me the rabbit's foot to take to school for show and tell.
What in the name of God?
Needless to say, the family ate the rabbit for tea. I refused
what?
And had fish
Needless
fingers.
Needless to say?
And then the old caveat. He was a great dad, but obviously being in the army and it was the 70s, rabbit was seen as a great meal. And I didn't listen to my dad, which I probably should have. No, you shouldn't. You're a child and you didn't clean it out. It doesn't mean your pet gets eaten. It did teach me a lesson, though. And I'm now a vegetarian and I love my dog more than I love my husband. But I don't have a rabbit.
Oh, is this Carmen?
No. Oh, fuck it. Mick wouldn't eat a rabbit. He's not that harsh. So that is boomer and beyond that. Fuck me.
That is intense. That is very intense.
That is... That's. I do feel like... I know we laugh and joke about this, but that is something that I think Carmen should maybe speak to someone about. That's something that needs to be worked through.
But you could go, do you know what? This is bad now, but in you know, 40 years, I'm going to get a really good email out of this to a podcast.
True, exactly. So, you know, in a way, that rabbit didn't die for nothing.
Exactly.
He's helped us out with a bit of content Christmas week. Right, I've got a couple more good ones here. This boomer parenting's mental, this one. Hi, Rob and Josh, I don't have children, and when you read this boomer trauma, you may understand why.
Oh, no.
When I was around 6 or 7...
This is the bleakest episode we've ever done.
I begged my parents to let me watch the horror film The Fog. They initially said no, as it would scare me too much. After many minutes of nagging and promising I wouldn't be scared and would go to bed just fine, my parents gave in, which is a bad move. You shouldn't let a six-year-old watch The Fog. I was absolutely terrified, and that night decided I needed to sleep in with my older sister. Not long after going to bed, I shook my sister awake as I was convinced the fog was seeping under the bedroom door.
Oh, my God.
We kept watching this, and indeed the fog was coming through the bottom of the door, screaming and crying. Eventually, we heard the noise of laughter coming from the landing. At the time, my parents were both smokers. Yes,
no,
you guessed it.
No.
They were frantically blowing cigarette smoke under the bedroom door.
Fucking hell. Which is bad in itself.
To prove to me that they were right and I would be scared.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for all the laughs, Vanessa Passaro.
That is incredible.
And I get worried that I may be laying with one daughter longer than the other. Here we go, Josh. Well, let's leave on this.
Okay.
Hi, both. Love the podcast. It really helped me through some hard times in lockdown having a 1 and 2-year-old at the start of it. Oh, blimey, Ben. This is from Ben Halpin.
Bloody hell.
Here are some questions I was asked during my vasectomy consultation. Because we've been asking for details on getting the vasectomy. It's something that we're thinking about. Not as to get as a couple. But...
Are you genuinely thinking about it, Rob?
Yeah, potentially.
You've got to do it, Rob. It's good content for the podcast.
Well, you get your dick snipped first, then, and then I'll do it.
Why? Well, I don't want to get my dick snipped.
You want another kid, mate? See if Mandy Moore's up for a third. Right. This is what they were asked. This is what Ben was asked at the appointment. What happens if your kids die? Which I think is quite an open question.
Fucking hell. I'm not in the mood for shagging, would be my answer.
Like, oh, God. I know.
What happens if your kids die?
If they did, the last thing I'd be thinking about is where, when we can have more.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd just sort of deal with the grief, really.
I wouldn't go, oh, I regret that vasectomy. Yeah. That would be so low on my list of concerns. Oh, and I've only got a bloody vasectomy. It never rains, but it pours, does it?
To think I got my dick snipped last week. What are the chances? There we go. He was asked three times, are you being forced to do this?
That's like when you put a big amount of money through my NatWest app and it asks me if...
Like... You have to go into the bank to go. I need to try. It's a big amount. It's a big load. What happens if you get divorced?
I think that's a fair question.
I've asked you that already. He's not going on an app and he's going to bring up Mandy Moore.
Imagine bringing up Mandy Moore at a vasectomy chat.
Well, I've been thinking about Mandy Moore, actually. Always been a big fan of hers. That's the plan, and then we'll go from there. Then this is what he was told as well. After the operation, please ejaculate 20 times in 3 months after the operation. I think that's doable.
We have that with our water filter. In the have you got a fridge water filter?
No, I don't filter my semen. I just have it straight. Sometimes it's SodaStream.
When we do when we put a new filter in the fridge, you have to put 20 pints of water through it before you can drink it.
Oh, really?
So obviously it's the same as a dick.
20 times, ejaculating 20 times in 3 months after the operation. As long as you can do that solo, I think that's manageable.
Yeah.
My question would be, how many ejaculations is too many straight after? My concerns is over-ejaculating rather than under. I don't think I'm going to go under that.
I think they should have fun with the people and go for a difficultly high number so that this person...
He's absolutely exhausted. Fucking Popeye.
So
right
in the next
off.
3 months, you're going to need to do 400 ejaculations. That's just the way... otherwise, your balls are going to fall off. So I'm just telling you this now, okay?
So 90 days, 400 divided by 90 days, right?
Yeah, so it's about four.
That'd be 4 weeks a day.
You go 4 a day, or you're going to try and do 10 in a day so you can have a day off? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's 4 every day. You're not going to do 8 in a day for a day off, are you?
Oh, no, I suppose not.
Four weeks a day, that'd be awful.
I'd
set an alarm and do one in the middle of the night, like antibiotics. It's the only way.
Got to do it with food, though. Got to do it with food.
Do not ejaculate on an empty stomach. Make sure it's a full one.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Here we go. Let's do some small business shout-outs, because we've gone over.
Okay, yeah.
Hi there, love the show. Obs, wondered if you could give my small business a shout-out. I deliver art parties to kids in Gloucestershire. I bring the party, and it's art in capitals, and we all make art. Perfect for letting the kids make a mess while the parents have a G&T/homebrew cider. And I clear everything away like nothing ever happened. Loads of love, Maddie. And that's Art Parties UK on Instagram. So Art, ArtPartiES UK on Instagram if you're in Gloucestershire and you want an art party.
Loving the pod, been a huge fan since the first episode. Used Rob's pom-pom jar idea for my two children, which has been a game changer. I would love you to give a shout out to my sister's small business, which started when she had twin girls. The business is called Bibadoo, B-I-B-A-D-O. The Bibadoo coverall is a weaning bib which captures the mess that little ones inevitably make when learning how to eat. It attaches to the high chair, so stops all the food from going in their lap floor, which results in an outfit change and a major clean-up operation, which, let's be fair, can be a bloody nightmare. It was invented from a chopped-up umbrella. She finally got the business off the ground. This is like something from Dragon's Den, isn't it? I'd really appreciate a shout-out. She's worked really hard, especially in lockdown. All her nieces and nephews have been her guinea pigs to test out her various designs. This is great.
Love
you can find her on Instagram and Facebook. Bibadoo, B-I-B-A-D-O, www.bibadoo.co.uk. Thanks very much, Mandy Moore.
I should add, it's Lou's pom-pom jar, not mine. I can't take a glory for that.
Okay,
Josh, I will see you...
Oh, that's Kath in Cardiff, by the way.
Thanks, Kath in Cardiff. All the best. I'll see you. I think we're going to have a slight week off with a couple of best of episodes, and I'll see you back.
Best of episodes. So that'll actually be better than what you're listening to now, if that's believable.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we'll be back in January for more, and we'll... get Sean Wolf
Happy
part
New
out
Year,
as well,
2023,
March.
We've got big plans. We've got big plans.
Oh, big plans coming your way.
We've got
the
some
live
very
tour.
Exciting
Podcast.
Plans
yeah.
for 2023.
Right, see you in 2023. Thank you very much.